frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Crap!
Operator, give me the number for 911.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a gold dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see. My woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive. And a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I can plow a field all day long. I can catch catfish from dusk till dawn. We make our own whiskey and our own smoke too. Ain't too many things these old boys can't do. We grow good old tomatoes and homemade wine, and country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Because you can't starve us out and you can't make us run. Because when them old boys raise their own shotguns, we say grace, we say ma'am. If you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the western skies. We can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. I had a good friend in New York City. He never called me by my name, just Hillbilly. My grandpa taught me how to live off the land, and he's taught him to be a businessman. He used to send me pictures of the Broadway nights, and I'd send him some homemade wine. But he was killed by a man with a switchblade knife. For $43, my friend lost his life. I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land.
and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, blast off!
God's name is going on in here. What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
You're listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html where you have access to not one but three separate chat rooms. Man, whew, that takes a lot of breath. Alright, so I posted like three links in the chat room to a couple of videos. One of them's magnetic levitation and the creative way a man went about doing it. So I suggest you go and take a look at that video. It's pretty good. One of the things that all three of these videos that I'm fixing to talk about briefly have in common is the fact that they're all made with like recycled materials. Basically made with junk. Things you can get off the store shelves or out the trash or out of old appliances and stuff. Anyway, the second one around, maybe bought a little bit of what he put on there, but essentially got an electric motor that's spinning around on a antenna rod, and he's showing some difference in speed. Clickety click, click, click. I hear that keyboard, Thomas. Good morning, Thomas. And the last one is a channel. It's kind of interesting channel. She actually puts out all kinds of different schematics for different projects she works on. It's a crude inverter is what she's got going on, but it's, you just have to check it out for yourself. But if you ever want to learn about electricity, these are the channels that I'd recommend you go check out, because a lot of people are taking things and putting them together and showing the concepts of how electricity works, whether AC or DC or inverters or whatever, charging systems. But they do it using recycled parts and, you know, things like that. And I just...
Hey, did you post Electroboom in there?
No.
He's even got a video showing a teardown of a microwave, and he's got a thermal imager that he shows the actual heat pattern on a cardboard box after he runs it through the microwave before he tears it down.
Cool.
So you can actually see the waves and everything on the surface of the how it basically bombards the box.
I like Electroboom. He cracks me up. The very first video I ever saw of his was his electric guitar. Did you ever see that?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Well, for you people who haven't seen it, go check out Electroboom's electric guitar. It's essentially two wires connected to a little 110 power cord and plugged directly into the wall. Yeah, don't try that at home.
Actually, check out any of them. I mean, the last video I think I saw by him, he was building a Jacob's ladder to celebrate his 1 million subscribers.
Cool.
And he couldn't get it to fire up on its own without, like, you know, bridging the gap a little bit. And he set a candle down there, and the candle created enough plasma between the thing to keep it going.
Cool.
So.
Well, either way, what I like about all these videos out there, see, I want to bring back the backyard scientist. I know they're still out there, but I'd like to gather them all together and get together and work on projects together, because a lot of creativity goes by the wayside. See, big companies and corporations, they figured it out a long time ago. They go out there and recruit the most brilliant minds, and they bring them under their umbrella, and anything these folks come up with basically belongs to the corporation. Now, why couldn't the people do that? There's a lot of different technologies out there.
Hey, mad science convention, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That'd be awesome.
Eureka Springs, man.
Eureka Springs.
We should make that our first one, man.
Well, let's see if we can get something like that situated. That'd be awesome. See, the thing about it is, there's a lot of people out there that do research in alternative energy that are trying to find things that you can, that are readily available for everybody. Like, for example, we've talked about many times out here that the direct drive washing machine motors out of the modern day washing machines, those are already ready built two-phase electric generator. Now, are you going to be able to run your entire house with it? No, but if you was to utilize the power in a different manner, you might be surprised at what you could actually do with it. And for building wind generators or charging systems for your wind systems or whatever, you could custom build your own blades. I mean, Muddy's done that. He built the actual Flux wind turbine and took 2x4s and carved his own props out of 2x4s. So,
yep. Is any of it any good at making your mama jokes?
Maybe. Your mama has an actual Flux wind turbine. Ha ha, tee. All right, so that was bad. That's why
you meant tee hee, it is to laugh.
Yeah, see, I'm not a comedian. I'm a joker sometimes.
We know that.
Alright, but anyway, seriously, you know, like a worst case scenario kind of thing, if you can find certain items, you can actually build little mini generators or charging systems. Heck, you know, people put them on pedal bikes and stuff like that, you know, like exercise bikes. And some of them treadmills out there, the electric treadmills, they have really powerful permanent magnet motors in there that are already ready-built generators. So at least case scenario, you could always keep the lights on if you if power went down for some reason. But the whole concept of being able to study an alternative energy was to solve the so-called issue of the energy crisis / being self-sustained. Clean, renewable, alternative energy is what they wanted. Now, I know we could do that. That's not the problem. It's never been the problem. It's just the problem of gathering people together and the tools and the resources necessary to build whatever needs to be built. We've proven time and time again that there's more than enough energy out there that it can be tapped into. And so I posted a comment or a question in the chat room. I said, what is possible? Well, one of my favorite people in the chat room down there, Stephen Gibbons, he said, if you can imagine it, it's possible. And good morning to you too, Stephen. And that's where I stand. If you can dream it, it can be built. That's plain and simple. I look out there at all the different sci-fi movies. I love science fiction, you know, traveling through time and space and all that kind of stuff. And while I'm watching that, I'm thinking about all the possibilities. What is possible? I believe anything's possible. And I believe that, you know, at some point in time, you know, mankind, if we really seriously wanted to get our act together and actually do some things, we could do some pretty cool things. But, you know, the technology that's available out there, for the most part, is in control of companies and corporations that, you know, have a bottom line to feed. They want to make a lot of money. So they're going to sell you the iPhone 5 for a year or two, and then the iPhone 6 with the camera in it afterwards, and they're going to keep on making all kinds of money instead of lumping all that technology into one shot. They're going to make a lot of money before they move on to the next one to sell. Meanwhile, back at the ranch, we're still waiting for all this technology to come available, when in reality, it's probably been around for a long time. There's all kinds of gizmos out there that every single day I find something different, I find something new, and I'm also finding people out there who are taking existing technology and utilizing it in a different fashion than it was originally designed for. Just see how far to test the limits of what you can actually do with certain, you know, schematics for like the inverter that I talked about on there, or the man that's doing the magnetic levitation. And if you watch this little video, it's impressive the height that he gets on there. He's using a combination of permanent magnets and electromagnets to use the permanent magnet for the attraction portion, and then the electromagnet for the repulsion portion of it, and actually get really good results. And so, when I'm seeing this video, I'm thinking of all kinds of things, like, you know, magnetic bearings and stuff like that. You know, all kinds of possibilities with it. In the second video in line, when this man has essentially like a electric motor with a propeller on there, and he's having it spin around, and you could hear this thing whipping through the air. Well, as I'm watching it, I'm thinking of the laws of physics. I'm thinking about leverage. I'm thinking about centrifugal force. I'm thinking about all the potential of what could be done with this particular device. You know, like, for example, if you want to lift a heavy, really heavy stone by your hand when you get over there, it's too heavy to lift. But we know that using leverage, we can lift a heck of a lot more weight than we would have otherwise been capable by ourselves to do. So, when you're trying to turn a generator that's under a load, you need as much torque as you can get. You need as much leverage as you can muster up in order to be able to overcome that load and be able to still turn that generator. So I'm thinking, with this design that he has, with the electric motor as the fan is the propeller is spinning that rod around, there's a whole lot of leverage involved there that he could actually use for torque to overcome the load that the generator would be under once you turn a light bulb on or something. And not only that, the centrifugal force of it all. About a day or two back, I was at the park with the grandchildren, and I was playing around with one of these called a merry-go-rounds. A big old heavy steel deal that kids get on there, and they jump around and go around until they get all dizzy and that kind of stuff. They're pretty impressive, but when I'm watching this thing move, I'm thinking about the mass that is actually being moved, the centrifugal force that's built up, the flywheel effect. I'm thinking about when you push this thing and let go of it, how long it actually takes before that thing comes to rest, because once it gets in motion, that weight and that mass wants to keep that thing going. So imagine a merry-go-round, heavy-duty steel, using essentially the flywheel effect, with motors on that thing and wind sails on the same thing, and you take all these forces and combine them in together. Once you get that thing up to running, it's got a lot of torque available to it, and the generator head, as opposed to the mass of what's being turned around, would make the difference and be able to overcome any load you put that thing under. So this is why I like to look at all these videos that have to do with people that are recycling or, you know, trying new things with existing products that are out there, electric-wise. You know, that's what real science is about, you know, experimenting and documenting and seeing how far you can take things. So imagine if you had the merry-go-round like I was talking about, and you was able to use some gear boxes or gear ratios to literally put one of those washing machine motors up underneath that thing, and as you got that thing spinning, the centrifugal force would keep it spinning and help to overcome the cogging effect once you put the thing under a load. Well, by itself, it may eventually slow itself down, but putting some big old sails on that thing to catch any bit of wind that comes around as well, and using all the different things such as what I just mentioned in that second video where the guy had the electric motor with the propellers on there to get some thrust on there, all these things in conjunction with each other doing the job, you know, and all of it basically made out of recycled or junk. These are the kind of things that I like to look at. You know, when people get creative, you know, building water wheels, there's so many different places out there on YouTube where you can find the ways to pump water without using any electricity. One of them is like a big water wheel that has a hose that wraps all the way around the thing, and as the hose is spiraled around, it has paddles on the big wheel, and when the water is going underneath the wheels, it's pushing the deal, and the hoses is dipping into the water and then raising that water and using like the Archimedes type screw to bring the water up higher and higher until eventually you're pumping water out the other end. Those kind of creative things. Those are the kind of people that the mad science convention, like you were talking about, Thomas, those are the kind of people that I'd love to see there. The backyard inventors. So what do you think about it?
I think we should maybe seriously consider start digging in and finding out what it would take to set up a convention, you know?
Well, where was this place that you were talking about? Is it like a middle ground to pretty much all the states?
It's pretty close, but it's also, you know, conducive to people coming and visiting. I mean, they're used to it all summer long. It's a vacation spot. So,
well, that would be awesome if we could get something like that together. Because yeah. I would want everybody to bring things from different directions, just things to work on. Even if they don't work, you know, if it was an idea or a concept they started off with, but they need somebody to troubleshoot it. See, that That would be a plus. You got some invention out there that you tried, and for some reason, it kind of works, but it just doesn't do exactly what you thought it would do because, you know, something's just missing. Because if you bring these things together, and you have a lot of brilliant minds around there that can troubleshoot it, they can figure out, you know, okay, this is why it isn't working, but if you add this right here, maybe we could get this thing to work together. You see what I'm saying?
Well, I can see that, but, you know, like I said, first step is getting them all together.
Yeah, that's the key.
Stop worrying about solving any problems until you solve the problem of getting them together.
Yeah, that's going to be the first issue. So if anybody out there is a really good organizer and really wants to try to put together a mad science convention, I would love to see that. You know, I want to put together a van, not, you know, one of the big old moving style box vans, and put a lot of experiments and stuff in there, a lot of different physics toys and stuff to basically be like a teaching tool to go around to different conventions. I think that would be pretty awesome to have, you know, showing wireless energy and hydrogen technology and all the different things out there that are readily available already. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, you know, even though people, they kind of understand what's going on, seeing and being able to explain, you know, it in a, can you throw Raymond in there?
Already on it.
Oh, okay, cool. Seeing things and being able to explain them better that way, you know, it makes for a good learning experience. Like, you know, there's this program that we do over here in my neighborhood. There's a church that puts together a day in the country kind of thing. And I do an alternative energy deal there. And I take different projects and I show them, you know, what you can do, like mixing solar with, you know, capacitor technology, or the electron, the all-electric self-charging electric bike and stuff, you know. All these things are good for getting people's brains to thinking about possibilities. You know, what is possible? And I believe there's so much and more in this world that's possible that than you can possibly imagine. Pardon the pun there, but nonetheless, it's still there's so many capabilities of what we could actually accomplish just using things that were just off the store shelves. And in the energy industry, I got this thing that I think about. Difference between clean energy and dirty energy. You know, like high voltage would be classified as dirty energy because you couldn't really run your TV off of it. It'd fry the circuitry inside there. You wouldn't want to use that high voltage to try to run it, but inside that same device, it uses high voltage in order to, you know, do a process, putting different colored pixels where they need to be as such. And so with that said, everything in that TV, you know, is generating all kinds of wasted energy as well. There's a lot of resistance going on. There's a heat buildup on the deal. Even a plasma screen TV will get warm. So the junk energy portion that I'm talking about, if the high voltage is capable of burning through insulation, then that ought to tell you it's getting pretty hot. And so that's one of the things that basically drains out a lot of power on your electric bill is heat. And if you can control heat, then that's a big part of the process. It's a good solution of the problem. You can use heat to produce cool. You know, we've already figured that out. HVAC, you know, air conditioning technology, heat pumps and stuff like that. And so I'm thinking maybe the electric industry ought to take a second look at what would be classified as junk electricity. What do you guys think?
I think you're right. No, I don't. I'm sorry. I know dang well you're right.
Well, if you're accidentally producing heat, well, not accidentally, you know, it's because you got resistance in whatever device you're running. If it's
you
a byproduct.
Produce junk heat, right?
Huh?
You know you're producing junk heat.
Yeah.
Don't use it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
You keep talking about different things, and adding them together, plugging them in, and plug and play. What about the cold steam turbine that I've been working on for several years now? I mean, it takes junk heat. I mean, after all, in the summertime, you're running your air conditioner. You're not making cold air. All you're doing is taking the heat out of the air in your house and putting it outside.
Yeah. Basically, all we're doing is moving energy from one place to the next. But the question... The question.
You take that heat that you're putting outside and don't put it outside. Put it into a cold steam turbine. It will make electricity. You can turn around and take that electricity, put it right back into your air conditioner, and reduce your air conditioning electric bill by 30% to 40%.
Yeah. So, the question that I asked at the beginning of this show was, what is possible?
Yeah, exactly. I heard that. I was listening to the show. That's why I came in. You started talking about my favorite subject, levers and pulleys.
Yeah, you got a prime example of that right there with your two-stage oscillator. And
I'm using natural energy, and then I'm slingshotting it around. I'm only adding in a little tiny bit to what is not possible, but exists. Gravity is magnetism.
If you could get a hold of one of those, I know they sell them somewhere in this world. The old style, heavy duty steel merry-go-rounds, and
right.
Use the same knowledge that you use making your two-stage oscillator. I believe that you could build a generating system that would use everything from gravity to centrifugal force to leverage, the wind power, solar power, all in the same unit, that once you got this thing up and going, it would have enough torque to literally turn a generator head. You
right.
See what I'm saying? Under a load.
Right.
Honestly believe it's possible, because, like I said, about a few days back, I was at the park with the grandchildren, and I spun this merry-go-round just to see how long that this thing would take to come to a complete stop. And it went on for quite some time. It was a good 5 minutes at the very least before it ever even started slowing down. And all I had to do was get that thing moving. It was a little bit of effort to get it moving to start with. But once I got that thing up and that centrifugal force kicked in and the mass of the weight of that steel plate that the kids usually stand on and the steel pipes that they hang on to, that thing continued to go for a long time. As I thought, told me, if you had a generator smaller than that wheel, then that's where the leverage would come into play. You see what I'm saying?
I see exactly what you're saying, because you're talking my favorite subject.
Yeah, the leverage would be over to overcome the load that you put on that generator head.
Exactly.
So, you know, these outside forces, like such as the wind, I mean, it's going to be windy whether you like it or not, so why not utilize that wind?
Exactly.
You know, there's some places in this world that you would have a bad hair day every day.
Uh-huh. You're talking my favorite subject to this.
Well, let's hear some of it.
Okay. All right. What you said about the magnet motor the guy was working on, he's using magnetism to draw itself toward a piece of steel, okay? That steel just happens to be the core of an electromagnet. But now, it's not costing you one penny, it's not costing you one neuron of your nerve muscle or brain power. You're using natural forces. A magnet was drawn to a piece of steel. Okay, use it. Now, when it gets there, it's got inertia. The inertia takes it past, but yet the magnet pulls it back. But when it passes, That's when you energize the electromagnet and push it away.
Yeah. And he was able to take a straw and sit there and use wind power to spin that magnet, and it took a long time for that magnet to finally come to a rest.
Right.
So, again...
Wow. This is crazy. This is crazy. Okay, the two-phase oscillator, I mean, it takes a lot of energy to get it going. But once it's going, it takes almost, and I want everybody out there to hear me, I said almost, no energy to keep it going. My two-stage oscillator, once I got it running, the big one, somebody said that a pendulum will run for like 2 minutes and 45 seconds or some crap like that. Mine, I don't know what they made theirs out of or how they made it. I don't know if they made it out of concrete, steel, or whatever. I don't know if they used bearings or just drilled a hole in a piece of wood and put it in there, the shaft, the pivot point. But mine, I did it the best I knew how. But once I get it running, turn it loose, don't touch it, and it runs for 2 hours and 27 minutes. Without any energy input. Now, there is a thing that NASA came up with years ago about slingshotting satellites into outer space. And that is, you take the satellite and you get it up to speed where it will escape Earth's atmosphere, Earth's gravity, then it will keep on going. But you aim it toward another planet. But not directly. You deliberately shoot to the side. So as it goes toward that planet, that gravitational field is pulling it. And it's causing it to increase speed, and you are not putting any more energy into that satellite. The gravitational force of that planet is pulling that satellite. You're using natural energy. It's gaining speed. Now all of a sudden it's going so fast, and on an arc, so that when it comes to a certain point, it is traveling so fast, it wants to pull away because of centrifugal force, but when it can't escape that, so all you need to do is put in just a little tiny bit, just a tiny bit more energy, and now it will escape that gravitational force, but it's traveling 5 times faster than you could have ever put it.
Well,
so, in doing so, you put in your jets that angle it and make it veer off a little bit toward another planet. It is possible by using the method of slingshotting to get a satellite traveling faster than the speed of light.
Well, basically, all of what I'm talking about boils down to taking, instead of just trying to use one of these forces, using a bunch of them. For example, that merry-go-round, that big steel plate has a lot of mass to it, and so when you get that centrifugal force up, it gets to running real good. Now, imagine if you took and used what the torque converter inside of an automatic transmission did as well, and you put a like one of the big old round cattle tanks and mounted it to the top of that that merry-go-round, and inside that cattle tank you put water. Right? Now, when you start to spin that thing around, once you get that thing around, the centrifugal force of the water itself now has weight and mass involved in it. And so even when that metal plate for the merry-go-round was starting to try to slow down, it would still have to be able to counteract the force of that spinning water inside the same deal. You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean.
And when that water got up to speed like that, then you could actually use that the speed and pressure of that water, the hydraulics of that water, to engage clutch systems that then in turn would kick on that generator.
Right.
And the moment it met too much resistance, you could actually have it disengage and allow the system to catch up to speed again and do the thing over and over again. So you could literally have a self-regulating generator that when it started to bog down, it would disengage the generator head and allow this thing to spin back up to where it needs to be, and then use the hydraulic pressure, kick it back into gear again, and use that sudden surge of energy that every time you turn the generator real fast, you get a sudden surge of power until everything levels out. That sudden surge in the form of high voltage could be used to charge up capacitor banks rapidly.
You know, the thing is, scientists, politicians, and experimenters don't take into consideration everything. Like, for example, you were talking about the Wirtz pump, W-E-R-T-Z.
Yeah.
The spiral pipe, and you turn it around and around and around, and it picks up water, and next thing you know, you get the spiral gets smaller and smaller and smaller, and all this water has weight. Now that weight, as you lift it, is compressing air.
Yep.
So when it finally reaches the inner spiral, all of a sudden you've got all this air pressure built up by all this water weight that pushes that water uphill.
Yep.
Now the thing is, the government gave, I can't remember the name of the college, but they gave them a grant, no loan, a grant of $3 million to experiment with the Wirtz pump and see if it really was over unity. Okay? So, I don't know why they did it, but they took their experiments and their all their college students and their professors, and they went to Africa to do this. They couldn't do it in the United States, right? Okay. Anyway, they did all their experiments. They built the Wirtz pump. They turned it. They measured how much power it took to actually turn the pump and how high they could get the water. And then they released the water and let it turn a hydro turbine to produce electricity. They measured this. They measured that. And they come out and said, wow, this thing is 80% efficient.
Well, see, even if it wasn't over unity, 80% efficient is pretty impressive.
No, wait a minute. My point is, they didn't measure the power of the air. They only measured the power of that it took to get the water up so many feet, and then they measured the power of the water coming down. They never measured the power of the air, the compressed air that the pump was making. Did you follow me?
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to say all along, because there's one thing by itself, if you focus just on that one specific anomaly in the power input and that, you're missing out on like the Venturi effect, for example. You know, when you pump water through a hose, if you're not measuring that air that's being drawn in with it as well, then you're missing out on part of the energy that's being transferred.
Right. I mean, think about this. Now, in a Wirtz pump, you have a section of water and you have a section of air. It's the air under the pressure of the weight of the water that's pushing the water uphill. But now, once it gets up there, that compressed air is being released. Why can't you turn a pneumatic motor? You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The water will turn a pneumatic motor.
Yep, and also if
pneumatic motor. Pneumatic means air. Come on.
If you paid attention to what we've been saying all along, and you think about all the different styles of generators, if you're not trying to pull a large current flow off of this particular generator, the flywheel is the best method by which to actually generate high voltage. Voltage is pressure, which would be something else that you could add to it, because while that pneumatic motor is spinning at high RPMs, it's producing a lot of high voltage, which produces a lot of pressure that you could rapidly charge a system such as a huge capacitor bank, super caps, or whatever you want to say. And so the high voltage portion would never put the system under a load, so you wouldn't have the losses that you would for let's say your average generator. You know, the average generator, once you put it under load, then you have to deal with Lenz's law, the Lenz effect. You know, when that second field's being created and it's acting like a brake. Well, if you're just using the forces that are going on to produce high voltage that you're shipping away from the system altogether, and it's not a direct load, such as changing it into the fourth state of matter being plasma. Now you just change that entire energy to something completely different. It never feeds back into the system that is producing the power of the prime mover, so it can't interact with it. It can't interfere with it. You see what I mean?
Yes, it is.
So that's yet even more power. That's right. The whole thing. And if you take that high voltage, which is normally be called the junk energy, because, you know, what can you use it for? You can't run your fan off of it. You have to change it back into something that you can run with it.
So, you know, the thing is, though, but you keep talking about capacitors and this, that, and other, and you also talk about all kinds of different sources of energy that can be collected and used, and you've done this at your place, and you got that one set up there where you use the wind. Well, when the wind's not blowing, you got your solar panel out there, and when the sun's not shining and the wind's not blowing, then you got your little tower sticking up there with your copper wire on it, collecting static electricity in the air, and this, that, and another, and then of course you got your little creek over there that's running water. I mean, that's what you've been preaching about all this time.
Yeah.
Can't use just one source of free energy. Now, we've already established, we don't even want to talk about there's no such thing as free energy, because we've already proven it over and over and over again. There's no such thing as energy that is not free. It's the apparatus that you need to build to change its size, shape, form, and or direction. It's all free. It's just the machine. So the thing is, it's not, the free energy is not constant.
Do you know
how to collect different styles, different types, different forms, different shapes of free energy? So when one's not working, the other one is.
Do you know that the human body is the equivalent of what the Free Thinker video was all about?
Between 34 and 36 watts of energy that the human body produces every minute, every second of light.
Your body is a capacitor, it's a battery, it's a thermoelectric generator. It's your body stays, if you're normal, you stay at 98.6 degrees. And so every time you eat food, the calories that are in the food is basically changed into energy that keeps your body warm and produces electricity that runs your brain and your muscles and all that kind of stuff. And
yeah.
So
you just reminded me of something that in my life that happened many, many years ago. So silly, it's pathetic. I was in Oklahoma City working and for a company. Anyway, I had a help and I was drinking coffee, and I learned that lactose and caffeine, when they're hot and heated together, on a lot of people, if you drink it, then it creates an acid in your stomach, and next thing you know, you've got a lot of gas. So I learned that the powdered cream didn't do that. So I was using powdered cream in my coffee, blah, blah, blah. You know, and I drank a lot of coffee when I was younger. And anyway, my helper said, if you knew about that stuff, what I know, you wouldn't put that in your coffee. I said, well, what is it? What's wrong? And he said, I can't tell you because you wouldn't want it because you like it too much. I said, tell me. If it's bad for me, I need to quit. He said, well, he didn't smoke it. I did. So he said, let me see your cigarette lighter. I said, okay. So I handed him a cigarette lighter. He opened up a little container of that powdered cream, and he lit the lighter, and he held the cream up, and he started shaking it, and it floated down, and all of a sudden, these big flames started shooting up. He said, see, it burns, it burns. I said, you dummy. If it didn't burn, I couldn't digest it. What you just showed me is I need to put more in my coffee.
Yeah.
Doesn't burn, you cannot digest it.
When I say that your body is a battery, you think about how batteries work, you think about how capacitors work, and think about the different types of metals that's in your bloodstream and your body and the water and the salt content in your body. Your body actually stores electricity and uses it, sends it to your brain to help you send signals out to all your muscles and causes your muscles to expand and contract. So you are a walking thermal electric generator.
Yes, you, absolutely.
Yeah, and by temperature differences outside, you can even get too hot. You know, go above 103 temperature for too long and your brain will boil itself. And the reason why you're so sensitive to electricity is because you've already got a charge going on, and it's basically like overcharging a battery or overcharging a capacitor. And people try to say, well, there ain't no free energy. Well, what are you?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. You know.
So at best, line it with Telterio devices, and you can sit in a dark room and generate enough electricity to light up LEDs so that you can read a book. Your body will produce enough heat to generate, to light up LEDs to give you the power you need to read in the dark. I mean, come on. Your body is, like you said, a chemical electrical generator.
It's electrolytic capacitor. It's a chemical battery. It's a just a regular capacitor. It's a thermal electric generator. Your body turns all the sugars and calories that you eat into basically BTUs, heat energy. And that heat energy mixed with all the different types of metals inside there produces electricity. So, you know, Ryan Abrams quite some time back made a little deal that goes on his wrist, and he used pretty much the same idea that you were talking about with Peltier elements to run a little electric motor. So the heat off of his body and the temperature difference of the wind blowing around was enough to literally run a little electric motor off of his body.
Right. The Peltier devices, they use heat passing through them.
Yeah.
So now, you're generating heat with your body, but now we also know that when you work with your body, you generate more heat. The more heat you generate, the more you need to get it off of your body. So now, all of a sudden, you're not just sitting in the dark reading a book, generating the heat to light up your LED so you can read the book in the dark, but you're sitting in a rocking chair with piezo crystals on the runners. Now you're also making electricity to operate your daycon radio.
Not to mention the salt content in your body. Whenever you take your fingers and you put them on the probes of a little voltmeter or something like that, you'll notice that if you got this in the milliamp range or millivolt range, you will literally be producing a charge. You can watch the charge going because the salt and the oils in your fingers are basically making a chemical battery. Once you touch those doggone probes on into that voltmeter,
right?
So we have the capability right now to literally design clothing that would utilize our body sweat for electricity, the temperature off of our body for electricity. We could build a shirt that would literally charge your iPhone while you're, you know, just walking around doing whatever it is you do. They already had little kids got the little piezoelectrics in their shoes. There's one example. They used to have they still got them. They called, I think they're called pedometers or whatever, that whenever you're out on a walk, it will actually record your steps, because whenever you move, it actually causes like a little pendulum to go back and forth and produce a charge. So
it not only produces a charge to measure the number of steps, but it in excess. So the excess they use to measure your heartbeat.
Yeah.
Come on. The piezoelectric crystals in your tennis shoes, your walking shoes, creates enough electricity to measure the number of steps you've taken, the number of breaths you're taking per minute, the number of heartbeats you get per minute. I mean, come on. Just walking, exercising, making your heart beat more, getting a little bit of exercise. All this energy, if you're not using it, you're not using it. It's going to waste.
Well, they got technology out there right now, like the forward-looking infrared radar and stuff like that. They even firefighters use it, that technology that you can literally see a person in the dark because of their body heat. So you're like producing enough energy that some device miles away can literally pick you up and see where you're at in the dark.
Yes.
That's a lot of power.
A lot of power. And you're going to waste. You're not using it.
So for those folks out there that, you know, are always thinking about ways to get rich and stuff like that, get out there and start inventing stuff. Invent all kinds of cool things. Things that would not require any batteries, that would literally run off the body heat, you know. You could use that body heat to literally cool yourself down. So the hotter you got, the cooler the suit would get.
Body heat and body motion.
Yeah.
I mean, you still talk about the piezo crystals in the shoes. Duh. Shazuz. Today, actually several years ago, they started putting piezo crystals in the lungs of human beings.
Yeah.
To create energy to charge the batteries on their pacemakers.
Well, then, you know, you could... You could put a USB cord into a shoe that had that capability, so that while you're walking around, just walking around, you're charging your phone up. Imagine never having to stop anywhere to charge anything up. You're using the pressure under your feet to push a piezo crystal. You're using Peltier elements or thermocouples or thermopiles to take body heat and turn it into electricity. You're using every bit of energy that surrounds you at all times, and even when you're on the phone talking. The wireless energy technology, Energizer, hold on a second. Energizer makes a wireless charger for the Wii system, and this wireless charger will literally, you don't have to plug it into anything, you just set it on the pad, and it produces induction charging that charges those batteries up. Well, that same process could be utilized to charge your phone. You stick your phone in the pocket, and it has a system that's using your thermal body heat to run the circuitry inside this. I'm not sure exactly how many volts this thing actually takes to run, but I need to find one of the power supplies for this unit that I got in my hand. It's like a little Energizer pad. It's you can put two of those Wii remotes on there, and it will charge it up using induction electricity or whatever. But I want to find out what the actual input voltage is on this. I meant to do some research the other day on it, but once I figure that out, I'm going to take a Peltier element and see if I can't use the body heat and the temperature difference on the outside to be enough to run this circuit to actually charge batteries using this system right here.
I just told you, they put piezo crystals inside of people's lungs.
Yeah, but I'm talking about using thermal heat to run what normally you would have to plug this into an adapter that plugs into the wall. I don't know what the actual input voltage is on this or what the amperage range is, so I got to do a little bit of research. But it says output on this thing is only 2.8 volts at 480 milliamps or something like that.
Wait a minute. Why not use both?
Well, you could. But I'm just saying for one experiment, that's what I want to try.
All right. You know what an ace bandage is, right?
Sure.
It's a stretchy material. Okay, so you put a Peltier device on that so the heat will go through it. And it'll work, okay? But then you put piezo crystals in there as well, because, and then you wrap it around your chest. If you stop breathing, you die. You breathe even when you're asleep. So now all of a sudden, you're taking the heat off your body, cooling it down, you're turning it into electricity, you're taking the motion of your breathing, turning it into electricity, day and night. I mean, combine them. That's exactly what you've been talking about all these years.
Yeah.
You don't use one source of energy. As long as you concentrate on that one source, it's that one source, you will never reach 100%.
So, if you added Peltier elements and you added piezoelectric and then you add the technology like the shake-up flashlights, they got flashlights with a magnet in there. They call them forever flashlights, and you can shake them up. No batteries necessary. It just charges a supercapacitor, which runs a bright LED. So, just by walking around, Peltier elements, the body heat picking up that, or thermocouples, thermopiles, all that that technology for thermoelectrics, and the pressure from the piezoelectric, and the actual motion of your arms bending, and all this kind of stuff, you could literally build a suit that would produce a massive amount of power.
They made a movie about that.
I put a video up one time, and I was hoping to try to get some people together to build. I called it Electro Man. I wanted people to try to build a suit that would generate power as they're walking around. I'd like to try to revive that. For some reason, I just can't seem to get, you know, when I try to do things like the pop boat contest, I just can't seem to get enough participation. You know, my YouTube says that I've got almost 8,000 subscribers. And the radio listeners or whatever, I don't understand why it is that we can't get enough people to put something together to see how far we can push any idea, whether it be making a solid-state boat motor such as the pop-pop engine and using everything from solar power to whatever material you want to burn in that to actually produce the energy to run the boat, you know, with a full-grown man in it, scaled up, scaled down, the Electro Man suit where you take and build a suit that would produce energy as you're walking around, enough to, at the very least, charge your cell phone and a battery while you're walking around. Think about that. If you had a suit that looked nice, had it on you, and all you did is what you normally do, you'd never have to stop to plug your batteries in or even buy new batteries for that matter. The capacitor technology alone these days is incredible. If you got a super cap, a little mini backpack, or even like one of them, remember back in the day when they had them Walkmans, the little radios that went on your belt loop?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little power pack that big. You could generate electricity while you're actually walking around doing your normal exercise and stuff, and when you're jumping up and down, or jumping over creeks or whatever like that, or riding bikes, any impact sports, every motion that you make is putting energy to that power pack. That power pack could then in turn be your lifeline. Like I say, you're way out in the middle of the mountains or the woods or something, and you've been running through these mountains and finally get yourself lost out there. Now you have access to enough energy that you could use to, you know, call for help. A radio, keep your radio charged up stuff. You don't see stuff like that on the market, but you do see miniaturized solar technology. I've got some that you can take this little miniature solar panel, put it in your pocket, and if you get out in the middle of nowhere and your batteries go dead, you can plug the little USB cord into it and charge your batteries up.
Right.
And there's another one that you can throw onto the pile. On the bill of your hat, solar panels up there that are actually adding to the system. You're charging up enough power with the solar panels.
Right.
So everything from piezoelectric to the motion of your body to the heat you're making from the outside influence such as the sun or the wind. You remember those little crazy hats people used to wear around for fun? They had the little propeller on the top they called a beanie.
Yeah. I remember
yeah.
That.
What's to stop you from turning a literally building an Electro Man suit? And you could store it in capacitor banks and even use it as a self-defense mechanism. Like you're out there jogging, minding your own affairs. It's charging up the equivalents of the Bug Zapper fly swatter. And if somebody comes up and tries to attack you, all you got to do is reach out with this specialized glove that has two probes on there, grab a hold of their arm or their neck, and shock the living crud out of them.
Put them on their knees.
Yeah, they'll leave you alone.
Mama.
Folks, if you took just these little ideas that we've talked about right now, and it doesn't matter to me if you take an idea and go out and patent it and make yourself $1 million, I don't care about all that. The ideas here at Shaziz Radio are free. If you take these ideas and you expand on them, you'll make me a happy camper. I don't care if I make any money off of it. I just get the pleasure in knowing that I give you an idea. You took that idea to as far as you could take it, and then made something beneficial, and you know, you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So, if you're listening to this radio show and you got an idea, even if you think it's stupid, throw it out there. Because
it's not stupid. That's the whole thing. If you think it's stupid, you need to back up, shut your eyes, take a deep breath, and think about it. It's not stupid. It's an idea. Expand on it.
Maybe the one idea that you got by itself won't do the job that you want to do as far as free energy. But you take all these ideas and put them in conjunction. We just explained to you how you can build a suit that you could use for survival, that you could charge up a power pack while you're out walking around, and you could use it for two separate purposes. One, you could use it to keep like a cooling system going on, where it actually takes water and puts a fine mist in front of you and blows it across the fan, where you got evaporated cooling going on. Or you could take that energy and use it for a small type of heating system that would heat your body when it got cold outside with the electricity that you generated. You see what I mean?
You just said something amazing. It got me to thinking. I mean, all right, my grandmother, when I was just a little tight, you know, knee high to a grasshopper, I would sit on the front porch, and hot, golly, dee, daggone, it was summertime, hotter than blazes. She's sitting in her rocking chair, shelling beans. And what I just said a while ago, take your pile of crystals and put them on the runners of your rocking chair, and as you watch, you're making electricity. Now, here's the thing. Piezoelectric crystals, if you flex them, they make electricity. But if you put electricity in them, they vibrate.
Yep.
Now, that's a thing called a sonic humidifier, which you put the piezoelectric crystal in water, and at the right frequency, it'll cause the water to form a mist. Now that mist, when it comes in the air, and the slightest breeze, it evaporates and cools. So you could sit on your front porch and make air conditioning.
Alright, if you live next to the ocean, and you wanted to make an emergency device, it would be so incredibly simple. And you wouldn't even have to have batteries, because you could use saltwater technology, because most oceans are saltwater.
Right.
You have two different types of metals. You got some piezoelectric crystals and some capacitors. When this thing falls into water, it has a little flotation device on it that will automatically inflate around your body. The thing comes open. It automatically inflates itself. All
right.
Well,
right.
Not only that, but you could use the salt water, because it's now sitting in salt water, which would be an unlimited amount of salt water, refreshing itself at all times, to produce a chemical battery that would run a piezoelectric siren that would people would hear, you're out there, you're in trouble, you're inflated. You see what
now,
I mean?
As the electricity is flowing toward the siren, also going through an LED.
Yeah, so you got a blinking LED so somebody can see you bobbing out there in the ocean. You fell overboard. This system, it sounds a siren, flashes an LED, and uses nothing more than salt water and two different types of metals. It doesn't even have to be two different types of metals. It could be the same type, just separate.
Right. Emergency safety device.
Yeah.
Exactly. Beautiful. Worth billions of dollars. How many lives could you save with that? I mean, come on.
Just think about this. You put all them buoys out there in the ocean anyway, so why not use saltwater battery technology to literally light those buoys up so you can see them wherever they're at?
Right. I mean, we just came up with several ideas. The thing is, there are even more that we haven't even discussed. Other people need to think about these things and make some money. Duh, we want to see people do it.
Patty in the chat room want to know where you can get piezoelectric crystals. You can buy them on eBay really cheap. You can buy them by the thousands. And if you're not really good at soldering, you want to buy the ones that already have the wires attached to them.
I bought 10,000 piezo crystals last year. 10,000. I'm giving them away to people who will actually use them to experiment with. Come on.
Yeah, you could make, look, there's one guy that took some and put them all on a piece of plywood and made a rain-powered generator. So as the raindrops are smacking the crystals, it's actually producing electricity while it's raining outside.
So bad. That guy was a genius, man. I mean, he was nice. He was nice.
So when I say what is possible, there's no limitations. Whatever you can imagine, like Stephen Gibbons said in the chat room, if you can imagine it, it's possible.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, Thomas, he's probably not feeling very good. We ain't heard much from today, but Thomas knows a lot about chemistry and a lot of different chemistries and how they react with each other and things that could be done. There's a lot of individuals out there that have knowledge like that. If you can put those people as part of your dream team, like I like to call them, people that have ideas and know about chemistry and such, you'll know what types of metals would be the best to make batteries or capacitors or whatever. And, you know, you can literally tap into the energy that surrounds you at all times. They call them germanium diodes. All right, and these germanium diodes are really sensitive to radio waves. And so I actually, in that Free Thinkers video, have it's a combination capacitor / antenna that picks up radio waves and helps to charge the batteries. So it's a diode, so whatever energy is coming in is going to be direct current. You see what I mean? So it's DC current that I'm taking whatever AC energy might be in the air or whatever radio signal comes through there and interacts with that germanium, and it charges a capacitor, a little capacitor deal that bleeds off into a larger system. I got both AC and DC capacitors in the system. And so no matter what's happening in that Free Thinkers video, that thing is continuously picking up energy from some direction or another. It's picking up a galvanic action from the dirt. It's picking up static electricity, it's picking up wind power, it's picking up solar power, it's picking up radio waves. And that thing, if you go back and you look at the very first video, take note of the date. To this very day, that entire system is still running, and the key to how it's still running and the fact that every one of the batteries on there would be what you would call bad batteries, because they no longer will store your conventional charge, which is nothing more than the electrons being off balance by a chemical reaction. You're charging this thing up and you're putting more electrons on one plate than you got on the other, and nature wants to balance that itself back out. But even without the battery acid in it, it being dry as a bone, it still has plates in there, it still has atmosphere in there, it still has a dielectric between those two plates, and it still can hold an electrical charge in the form of static electricity.
Right.
So even when you think it's trash, it's still treasure. It still functions. It still has a use.
One man's trash, another man's treasure. I like that.
You go out there and you turn your dome light in your car on. Alright? Go out there and calculate up the very first video that I put up of Free Thinker series, and go through the whole entire time frame and leave the dome light in your car on that length of time, and then go back and try to start your car.
Right.
Seriously. Now, if there ain't no such thing as free energy, I'll go out there and eat that entire project.
Right.
But I know for a fact that that thing has been running all this time, and the only influence it's got is the sun, the wind, the radio waves, the earth itself, earth battery technology, galvanic action, static electricity, negative ion generators, and I could go on. I could even add more. There's so many different things. It's already got a thermal exchange system that when the sun beats down on the box, the heat builds up inside that box. The heat rises according to basic science, Heat rises, and as the heat rises, it's interacting with the cold air, which produces a motion in the turbine at the very top. If you look on top of your house, most houses have those, looks like a big old round ball on the top there. It's a vent. Whenever your attic gets hot, the heat rising through that causes that to circulate and pulls that heat up out of your attic.
You know, I said it earlier, this same show. No such thing as free energy. There is no such thing as energy that is not free.
Well, I set out. My mission was to set out and prove once and for all that energy is free.
You've already done that over and over again.
Well,
people just need to get through their head. We've already proven that energy is free.
Now we can get the brilliant minds to come together and utilize everything that we've learned on the Mad Science Show and put this stuff into action. We can literally produce free electricity. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. We already know all the drawbacks of every single piece of equipment out there. We know why things get hot. We know about friction loss. We know about thermodynamics. We know everything we need to know to literally design the perfect generating systems, the perfect self-sustained, just like the people out there said they wanted. Clean, renewable, alternative energy that would work in perfect harmony with nature and not pollute. We already know how to do this. Now it's a question.
Let's talk about the solar panel. Solar panel is, they call it photovoltaic, because it's taking visible light and turns it into electricity, right?
Yep.
The thing is, only 10% of the light spectrum is visible. But we only, with solar panel, we're only using photovoltaics. We're only using the visible light spectrum. Whereas Thomas and I, we've been working on what you just did the first time I came to Missouri with you. You're taking invisible light, ultraviolet rays, and turning them into light by using plasma. Well, yep. Plasma creates ultraviolet rays, which you cannot see, but if you strike phosphorescent material with ultraviolet light, then all of a sudden it creates visible light. You see what I'm saying? There's energy out there we're not even thinking about. What are gamma rays?
Science says that light is heat and heat is light, vice versa.
And there's light that we cannot see. The fact that we cannot see it does not mean that it's not there.
That's right. There's thermoelectric capabilities even in the pitch dark. I'm saying it is possible to literally utilize all the technology. See, if you took the solar panel and added the Peltier element to it, you just increase the efficiency of it. Because you know that the light is producing heat that is being wasted on that system.
And so you take your solar panel, you line the back of it with peltherials, you put heat sinks on them, and then you put it in an enclosed unit, and you use cold water to draw the heat off of your heat sinks, which actually pulls the heat through the peltherials. Now all of a sudden, now you've got hot water. Now you put this hot water into a Stirling engine, and it causes it to run and make more electric. I mean, come on, folks. Use your head.
Well, that's why, like I said, if when the world's ready, when the average Joe, see, all this technology is available. Now, the question is, do you want to wait around for the companies to take all these ideas and run with them themselves and then sell it to you? Or would you like to take control of this technology and utilize it and share it with one another and produce what you wanted all along? You didn't like the corporations because some folks out there don't like the monetary system of the world, right? Because basically, what do they call it? Doggone it. There's a word for it. Can't remember. Anyway, capitalism. They don't like capitalism. They don't like making money. They don't like people making money. But yet, at the same sense, They don't want to get out there and do what's necessary to ensure that capitalism doesn't run amok. All right, well, if you're out there and you're designing things and you're building it and you're sharing the ideas with each other, you're going to start balancing things out, because now the power company doesn't have as much control over you because you're not reliant on the power company. The government ain't got as much control on you because they're not getting as many taxes. They can't send all the enforcers around to mess with you. So you're building these systems up side by side, working right alongside their systems. The corporations don't have all the patents. They don't have all the access to everything. And even if they do go out and patent things, as long as you're not selling it, they can't do nothing to you for just making it. You're just making it for your own personal use. And so, whatever, you know. And sharing that idea, you can't sell a widget if every single person owns a widget. There's no money in it. So, if you're sitting there and you're sharing free energy ideas with each other and you're building these things and you're testing them and you're expanding on whatever idea comes before you, and you're taking all this and putting solar with wind, with thermal, with hydroelectrics, with wind power, whatever, all this stuff combined together to make the perfect self-contained units, you'll get to the point where you now know how to build generating systems that will provide all the electricity that you use on a daily basis. The systems were set up inefficiently. You can redesign the systems to be efficient. It's not beyond the realms of possibility to take what normally run off of 120 volts AC and run it off of a 12-volt car battery. They got transformers in there, and if you actually look at the transformers in any device, you'll find out that it starts off with 120 volts, and in most cases, with exception of your microwave, steps that voltage down to anywhere from 12 to 9 volts, could be 15, 16 volts, or 18 volts, or whatever. Nonetheless, you're taking 120 volts AC, and you're having to step it down to run the appliance. Your computer monitor, take the thing apart, look at the numbers on it, look at the input voltage, the required voltage to run each circuit. You got circuits in your computer. Your average PC will have like a 12 volt, a 5 volt, and I think like a 3 volt or something like that. It doesn't take all that power that you're putting into it to actually run the device that you want to run. So you could modify any device out there, including your refrigerator, your air conditioning unit, to run on less voltage than it actually took to begin with.
Right.
So, the key is to get the people together. If you got people in your neighborhood that are good at electronics, have them help you troubleshoot a circuit that will, you know, produce a magnetic field that you can use for, you know, building a generator system or wireless energy or whatever. Take and figure out methods by which you can change the 120 volt motors into maybe 36 or 24 volt or a 12 volt DC motor. And that way, all you have to do is be able to come up with, you know, it's easier to come up with 12 volts out of a car battery than it is 120 volts out of a doggone generator. You see what I mean?
Yep.
And you can build your own batteries. All you need to know is the basic makeup of a battery. You got two plates and an electrolyte. It's that simple. And if you want to step it up, you run them in series. If you want to equal them out, you run them in parallel. Side by side, parallel, series, where you take the positive and the negative, and then you go from the negative on one side to the positive of the next one, to the negative, to the positive, to the negative, to the positive, and then you take a tap off of each end. Like two batteries, 24 volts. Three batteries, 36 volts. On up. To how many ever volts you think you need. It's that simple.
You know, your galvanic action thing you were talking about before, that I did that with the salt water thing you were talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I had 5 coffee cups. Each coffee cup was producing 0.8 volts. So 5 coffee cups was 4 volts.
There you go. Okay. And if you can get 12 volts of electricity, you know,
there's 4 volts. lit up with LED 24 hours a day for 11 straight days.
Well, there you go. Free lighting out of salt water. And Joe.
You got that right. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, like you said, it, now I have put all five things that are together in parallel, then I would still have only had 0.8 volt, but I would have could possibly got an LED that would light up, but I would have more current. Therefore, you could possibly have lit it up for 55 days.
Sure. Instead of, you know what? See, this conversation's great because two people in the chat room over in TCT chat room, actually there's three people involved, but Stephen Gibbons talked about, you know, essentially turning the streets into generators. And Patty said, wow, you could use the schools to power the city. And she said she's talking to her son about piezo crystals. He's familiar with them, and they're brainstorming right now. See, that's what I'm talking about, folks. Those kind of ideas right there. If you had set up piezoelectric crystals throughout every street, every time somebody's driving down a road, they're putting juice to the system, you know?
Right.
You're going to have the naysayers after, oh, well, that'd be too expensive, and, you know, you never get out what you wanted in. I want to hear from those people. Those people are the hindrance, you know. I want to hear from the people who have what would be classified as the crazy ideas, the mad scientists of the world. Those are the ones I want to hear from. Because those are the ones who come up with ideas like Burt Raymond's talked about and like Thomas has talked about. If anything that Thomas is doing behind the scenes ever actually gets out there, you're going to be impressed with the, because his work is brilliant.
For sure.
And that doesn't even scratch the surface of all the people out there. You know, kids like Jermaine over there in the Netherlands, he's sitting out there and he's researching it, he's testing it, he's building hydrogen cells and different things, you know. He's checking it out. That's what we need. We need people out there who are willing to do exactly that, to try it.
I've already paid for my plane ticket. I'm leaving Dallas, Texas on the 12th of July this year, 2017. I'm going to the Netherlands. I'm going to spend 3 weeks with Jermaine and his father, which his father is brilliant. I mean, that's where Jermaine gets all of his brilliance from. And I'm going to spend 3 weeks with them. We're going to work on some experiments together. I'm going to make a lot of videos every day, the whole entire trip. And I'm going to come back and put them all on YouTube. I mean,
cool. I can't wait to see that adventure.
Stands 6'2" and is an absolute junior genius. I mean, he is something else.
Yep. Look, folks, there's been things that people have done through history. Like, for example, you know, when you think about pneumatic engines, air-driven motors, you think modern-day technology. You got an air tool that you can take the lug nuts off your car. You got air cutting tools where you can cut through steel with a little diamond grinder bit or whatever. But this technology that we talk about, it's been around for a long time. They drilled a hole that was 300 feet deep. At the top of this hole, they had a doggone water supply. And when this water fell down that full 300 feet, it used the Venturi effect to suck air in with it. At the bottom of it, they had equivalents of a cave, which was a pocket down underneath the ground, down under that 300 feet. As that water was falling, it was dragging in air pressure that turned around and pressurized this chamber, and then they had another pipe that went back up to the surface again, and they were able to use that air pressure to run basically the equivalence of mills, to grind grain or use it to cut with saws, you know, cut wood with saws and stuff. That's brilliant. It could use any water source out there available to do exactly the same job. And by the time it's all said and done, they had clean, fresh air that was pressurized and ready to run up and run their machines. That's it. The one that I looked at, they said they were producing 300 PSI. Go out there and look at your average air compressor and see what the air pressure is on it, and look at that same air pressure with the air tools and see that there's a regulator on that air compressor, and you're only supposed to run most of these tools at 90 PSI. Maximum. Some of them only 60. But the RPMs that are generated off of that amount of air pressure, and to you could literally design a pneumatic engine that would spin at incredible RPMs, spinning magnets past coils of wire, which in turn produced high voltage, which is even more pressure. And if all you have to rely on is some creek coming by that's dumping water down a pipe, and then you could take and pipe that water back up to the same source that you started from. You know, anybody out there really seriously want to come tell old crazy haired Shaziz that there ain't no such thing as free energy? Wake up, world. You said you needed clean, renewable, alternative energy sources. Shaziz Radio and many others out there have gave you every single idea possible, and then some, and are still coming up with yet even more ideas. See, ideas what makes this world work. Ideas was what somebody had and said, I think we can fly like birds. The naysayer said, well, if you were meant to fly like a bird, God would have gave you wings. Well, he didn't give me wings, but I want to fly like a bird, so I'm going to build me some. You see what I'm saying? And they did. They built an airplane. Now we got jet planes. Now we got rockets. We got all kinds of cool tools and toys. Man, they built a quadcopter, miniaturized quadcopter, put it out on the market, made millions of dollars. People now call them drones, and they got cameras on board, and they can fly around and see the terrain that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to see because of where they were standing on the ground. They were able to see all kinds of things. And then they even unlocked a spy versus spy, where people were flying drones over spying on each other. But nonetheless, somebody else took that same idea, and they scaled it up, and now they have a full-size version that you can sit on, and you can fly across the lake and go visit with somebody on the other side of the lake with the equivalence of what used to be a toy. You still there, Raymond?
Yeah, I'm here.
Used to be a toy, and now it's an actual traveling device. It's a vehicle, man.
Right.
And it puts flight in the average Joe who doesn't have a pilot's license. It puts flight at their disposal. So now you can fly. Now they also had a man that took and built the equivalence of a water jet that turned around, and he has a hose that stays down in the water. It uses high pressure pumps to suck the water up out of the lake and push it down forward, creating thrust, and he can fly around in the lake using the water pressure. So, Stephen Gibbons said, yeah, a lot of waste going on. When you think about it, you could put them in their seats too, and add magnet, wind, and coil around their fidget spinners. Yeah, they got toys that will spin for who knows how long. Incredible, because the precision bearings inside them things are just mind-blowing. So we got the technology right now. If we took all that technology, put all those pieces of the puzzle together, and all the brilliant minds available on this planet, there ain't nothing we couldn't accomplish. So when I ask the question, what is possible, I'm asking you personally, what is possible? What can you imagine? Because if you can dream it up, if you can imagine it, then it's possible. And all you got to do is get together with the crew that has the technology to build it. Your friends, your friend, he goes to work for somebody, might be making $10, $12, $13, maybe even $20 an hour. He's a welder. He can weld better than anybody that you know. You put him in a construction site where he has to frame in a house, he can't do it. He's not a framer. But if you want that welder to have a shed or a building to work out of, then you get that framer from your community to go over there and frame in a building. Then you find somebody who can hang drywall, some painter, somebody who does electrical, and they can set him up a shop. And now this guy's got a shop, and anything you need made, whether it be using a plasma cutter or a welding technology or whatever, you go give him your designs, and he makes this thing. So you just helped him. You gave him a shop to work out of, and he helped you because he built the things necessary for you to prove your invention. Think about it. And by pulling your resources, you don't have to come up with millions of dollars. Because you already got everything you need right there in your communities. You already got the people that you need. The people that you need are out working for the corporations that are building all the cool tools. All the cool toys. All the brilliant ideas who's ever got on the market. There's a corporation or a company behind it. Because they had the money to manufacture. They had the money to pay the individual who is the best welder. But if you got that best welder involved in building a network that was believing in the dream as well, and he'd be willing to volunteer some of his time, because you're willing to volunteer some of your time to actually help him build a shop that he can work out of, That's the key. All the pieces of the puzzle make the big picture. One piece of the puzzle is nothing more than one piece of the puzzle. You put 5 or 10 pieces of that puzzle together, now you got a section of that picture and you're moving forward where you need to be going. That's what needs to be done. If you ever want to fix this world, it's going to be you, the average Joe, getting involved with the other average Joes out there and letting your mind travel to boldly go where no man has gone before. If you want to travel through time and space, then get together and do it. It's that simple. You know, Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. There's a whole lot to be said about that. It's the truth. If you think you can't do it, you'll never succeed. If your belief is that the system has you down, then you'll stay down. If your belief is that you can build a system alongside that system, and eventually that system that you despise becomes irrelevant because you and your network and their networks have all combined in the form of people power and brain power and research and development and technologies that have been available since way back to the dawn of mankind, as far as I'm concerned. Back in the day when somebody had to work hard, they figured out ways not to have to work hard. They could have used a hand tool to plow the field. But they gathered together and they used the beast, the burden, the mules, the horses to help them. They took care of the horses and the horses took care of them. And they worked together. And eventually they tried to figure out ways that they could actually work more efficiently without horses. Next thing you know, you had tractors. You see what I mean? Before it's all said and done, you got combines that will use GPS systems, global positioning satellite systems, that will run that tractor, and the only reason why there's a man aboard is in case something goes wrong or something needs turned on or turned off. That's it. But that tractor, that combine, is running itself. Using computer power and global positioning, it knows exactly where it is in that farm field. Now, in the next 20 years, you're going to see something really exciting. You're going to see a surge in technology unlike anything you have ever imagined in your life. Technology is going to begin to boom at such a rapid rate that every single day there's going to be something new coming out there on the market. Now, this could be the most exciting time, and it could be the most dangerous time in the history of time. Because at some point, the capabilities of artificial intelligence and computer technology and human and machine merging into a singularity that would literally get to the point where either we become the machines, or the machines become us, or eventually the machines decide that humans are no longer necessary and get rid of us, or we're going to control the technology from start to finish and utilize it to literally bring about a heaven on earth, a utopia, so to speak. Being able to work in perfect harmony with nature to provide everything necessary for people to live in comfort, to have plenty of food, health benefits, and all that kind of stuff. We have that capability. So we're either going to allow technology to run amok, or technology to be used for war, or we're going to only allow technology to be used for beneficial purposes to make this world a better place. That's the crossroad we're standing at, and those are the choices before you on the table. The average Joe could sit by and wait for the corporations or the companies out there to provide this technology to sell to you so that you can utilize this technology, or we can get out there and we can develop our own technologies. That's it. Who do you want the power to be in the hands of when we get at the end of the road, when we finally, as humanity, reach the singularity where transhumanism becomes a daily word? Man becomes machine. Vice versa. You know, it sounds science fiction, but we're literally watching science fact unfold before our very eyes. Holographic technology that would make it look like somebody's standing right beside you. Video game technology where it's getting so realistic that you couldn't tell whether it was a real person doing it or not. They might not even have to have actors anymore because they could just digitize the actors so they wouldn't have to pay anybody. They can write the story as they go. The graphic technology, the doggone KiCad programs, AutoCAD programs, programs that will design machineries, 3D printing machineries. When we get to the point where industry literally takes over all, no more need for any human workers, all machines are 3D printing. All they have to have is somebody that wants to put input into the machine that says, well, this is what I want, build it. You're going to see this come to pass within the next 20 years. You're going to see technology advance at such a rapid rate, it's going to blow your mind. It's going to be exciting times and scary times all at the same time, because in the balance of it all, at the end of that road, we got to decide who's going to be in charge of that technology. Who's going to be using it as a weapon of war or a weapon of peace? That's the choice. That's where we're going. I'm excited because I love to see the technology. I love to see things work. I love to see new ideas and creations. What I don't want is all these fancy ideas being turned into ways to hurt people. You know? If the government has all these cool tools that have frequency energy weapons or whatever that can, you know, do whatever they want to everybody, and that kind of power in the wrong kind of person's hand is ridiculousness. But if you go to level the playing field, you need to level the playing field by getting out there and building your own devices and utilizing them for, whether it be defense. I mean, for Pete's sake, man, you go out there and there's a person that has a badge on that can shoot you with a taser gun, electrocute you and drop you to your knees. But what if you, the average Joe, builds a shirt that literally absorbs that power like a Faraday cage and sends it right back to the one that delivered the charge?
Right.
You know, that's where it is, man. Choose. Whether you want to be the victim or whether you want to be the victor. Whether you want to be the person that brings about positive change to the world or whether you want to be the person that brings about... You got to choose your side. The world is heading down a path right now. And the folks that have the technologies available to them, they have toys that they're not sharing with the rest of the world. On one hand, they tell you to sacrifice You got to go out there and you got to reduce your carbon footprint, is what they say, which to me is ridiculousness, but I won't get into that. But either way, they tell you that you got to reduce your carbon footprint. You got to do this, you got to do that. And at the same time, the technology is available to do exactly that are not being utilized. Science says that water is hydrogen and oxygen. The earth is over 3/4 covered in water. You're never, ever, ever going to run out of hydrogen and oxygen. It's not even remotely possible unless some massive solar flare blows our atmosphere completely off the planet, in which case we'll be dead anyway and it's not even going to matter. But nonetheless, this planet is a self-contained biosphere of epic proportions. It's a thermoelectric generator, a static generator. It has provided more power than we could ever use in a trillion, trillion, trillion lifetimes and more. We're not going to run out of food. We're not going to run out of water. We're not going to run out of energy. It is not even remotely possible. So all the fear-mongering that they have done for years and years to keep you in line, the deliberate attempts to basically make scarcity so that they could raise prices up. You buy something from the farmer, you get it cheap. You buy it from the store, you get a 300% or more markup on that same product. They best just to go back and buy it from the farmer direct. Save your money. Use your money to reinvest in your system that you're trying to build with your communities to make your communities better. Working with your local farmers, working with your local people who can do everything from sowing to building whatever kind of services out there, working with one another to actually do these things and make products for each other and barter and trade and share your work and they share their work and you do things together as a community and you'll watch this world change so rapidly. It'll be unbelievable. We have the capability.
You just said a mouthful. Well, I love what you just said.
That's how we do it. If you want to fix this world, that's how we do it. You take all the rest of the pieces of the puzzle, which are your brothers and sisters around this world, and you guys join together and you make the big picture happen. Now, the few people out there in this world, the companies, the corporations, the governments have figured out how to utilize your piece of the puzzle to make them more powerful and make them more money. When are you going to decide that it's time for your piece of the puzzle and other pieces of the puzzle to come together to right the wrongs of the past and make this world a better place for all? There ain't no reason for anybody to starve to death, for Pete's sake. Look how many times the government has paid somebody not to harvest a crop because you don't want to mess the market up. Too many crops out there on the market means that somebody ain't getting as much money. Somebody ain't getting as much taxes. So if that's even being said, hey, we'll give you this much money. Don't put your corn on the market. Wait a second. I thought we had a scarcity. I thought there were people starving. Wouldn't you want that extra corn to be out there on the market? Wouldn't you want to at least, instead of having them not do anything with it, to harvest it and give it to the poor? What about the third world countries, as they call them? Why couldn't you take that food that you're getting ready to tell the farmer to waste, and you're actually going to pay the farmer to waste it? Why couldn't you have that shipped over to them and turn it into energy to develop fresh water and food sources for those people so that they can be lifted up out of the type of poverty that they live in? Well, the only excuse that I can see that the government can give would be to save the system. And we don't really like the system because the system ain't very fair to people that are in need. Tell me where I'm wrong, Raymond.
You're absolutely correct. You know, I read somewhere here about 2 years ago that the United States throws away enough good food every day. In one day, we throw away enough food to feed every man, woman, and child in the entire country of Kuwait 3 square meals a day for an entire year. And that's how much food we waste in one day. What could we do for the rest of the world?
Yeah.
That's just, wait a minute, that's just the United States.
What about all the rest of them?
Yeah, what about the rest of the so-called first world countries? How much are they wasting?
Well, I'm sure that they waste a lot. And I'm sure that it's shameful when a man tries to feed a homeless man and goes to jail for it. That's shameful.
Yes.
Folks, in your hearts, you know the difference between right and wrong. And we're offering you right now ideas for free. No charge. Only thing we've ever asked from anybody out here listening to the Mad Science Show is to join us in the chat room. Join us in our quest to share information with the rest of the world. Pass these podcast links around to people. Let them hear what's being said. See if they agree or disagree. You know? Some idea that we say on these radio shows could literally spark off a design that would do something positive, such as give people fresh water in the world. You know, there.
You know, you talk about water. The Earth is 3/5 or 3/4, whatever, water. But only 2% of all the water on this Earth is drinkable.
Oh, in its current state, but 100% of it's drinkable when you know how to use science.
I have not finished. Of all the drinkable water, that 2% of all that drinkable water on this earth, we only use 2% of it. Think about that a minute. We use 2% of 2% of the drinkable water. Now, okay, so do you realize that here just a few years back, throughout the entire eastern part of the United States, they were having floods and floods. People were dying. They were being drowned. Animals were dying. Tens of thousands of farm animals died in Arkansas alone from flooding. At the exact same time, we were having a drought in the western side of the United States.
Yep.
Now, we have all this pipe system to ferry gasoline, crude oil, not crude oil, but different types of fuels throughout the entire United States. Why the people in these flood areas weren't using fuel? They were fighting water. Why were we not using this piping system to pipe all this flood water out to the Midwest?
Yeah.
We're having a drought. Come on. The infrastructure is there. It's called plug and play.
There's enough desert space on this planet that if properly irrigated, you could grow food in the desert.
Yes. It's been proven over and over again that deserts are some of the most fertile land in the entire world.
Yeah.
Water.
We could literally pipe our flood waters to the deserts and produce yet even more food for people.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Come on, man.
That's the thing.
It's there. It's on the shelf. It already exists. It's called plug and play.
I'm telling you.
Together, plug it in and play it. Dang gone, man.
I'm telling you that if the people of this world ever really wanted to resolve every single issue out there in this world, we could get it done.
If we put it together.
Look, you can lobby Congress to do certain things. You can lobby the Senate. You can lobby all the governments of the world forever and a day until you're blue in the face. And they'll tell you, well, you know, we can't afford this. We can't afford that. Well, that's not plausible. We can't do this or whatever. They'll tell you all the reasons why things are not possible. And you'll have to listen to a scenario like Raymond just explained about people dying in floods when you could take that flood water and you could send it on down the road to some place that they wish they had water.
Yes, absolutely.
So, you know, even the cattle, you know, if you lived in a flood zone, flood prone area, there are people that live by rivers that literally have houses that float when the water rises, and they recede back down to the ground when the water recedes. Their garage, their car, their animals, everything goes up on top of the water, floats. When it's all said and done, when the river goes back down, the house comes back down again. And if they want to get to the shore, they just get in a boat and they go across to the shore. They've lived like that forever. In Louisiana, in the swamps, they live in swamp grounds. They have houses on stilts. They have learned how to adapt to the environment around them and are able to survive and have done so for hundreds, if not thousands, of years. Doesn't matter where you live, whether you're in the desert, out there in Australia, in some of the worst places possible to live because it's hotter than all get out. They have lived underground and have a community underground with stores and bars and churches and housing and all that. And they actually have people who come to see this as tourists.
Yeah. Isn't that neat?
Yeah, so they're in the desert making money while finding gold in the desert. While you're building a new room onto your house in the underground community, you could strike your rich by finding gold while you're building the second room.
Wait a minute, are they building another room, or are they destroying another room?
They're building another room. They're adding on to what they already got. The place just keeps getting bigger. It's all underground.
They destroy something to actually build something. They want a room, so they have to destroy all this rock and material and so forth, and all of a sudden they got this hollowed out room. I mean, come on, man. I love it.
Well, then they got materials that they can use for, you know, when you break up rock, you can mix that crushed rock with other materials, and you can make concrete, and you can build other things. See, right. Science and physics says energy can neither be created nor destroyed. And so, even when you think you're destroying something, all you're doing is making something else.
Right.
You're making another chemical. You're making another material.
I got a question for you. If you cannot destroy energy, right, then where did the energy go that you used yesterday?
It goes, we're back into the system. It's recycled.
Exactly. And all the things we're trying to say is to these people out there is don't try to fight the laws of physics or thermodynamics or whatever. Don't fight it. Use it the way it's explained. But don't have somebody else tell you what it means. Study it and get your own definition.
Essentially what he's saying is don't use it as a brick wall. Use it as a tool.
Exactly.
I mean, anything can be a brick wall. If you like I said a minute ago, what Henry Ford said, if you think you can or you think you can't, you're right.
When you said that before you said what Henry Ford said, that's exactly what popped into my mind was his words. And then you said it. And perfect. Beautiful.
Yep.
Use the laws of physics. Use the laws of thermodynamics as a tool to do what you want to do.
So the question today was, what is possible? Now, while you're sitting there listening to this show, see if you can answer that question. What do you think is possible? You know? The only impossibility that I've seen so far, and it's not an impossibility, it just means that you got to get out there and talk to more people, is to get people to gather together and use their pieces of the puzzle, their talents, their skills, and gifts to better your community. It's that simple.
Right.
A house don't build itself. One man don't build a house. It takes a bunch of people to build a house. One man had to make the nails. One man had to make the plywood and cut the 2x4s and shape everything. So many people had to come together in different groups in order to make the materials necessary to build that house. And then you had to have the people that had the skill set. You also had to have the laborers that could carry the stuff and put this all together. You had the hardware store where you bought the equipment from. You had the people that made the equipment at the hardware store. Everybody and his brother was involved in doing exactly what you, the people, could have done all along.
Right.
But you did it for the man, so the man got paid. He gets rich, and you get upset because of capitalism. Don't get mad for the man being smart enough to make money off your hard labor.
Heck yeah.
Get mad at the people that don't want to take their gifts, their God-given talents to work together and make things happen. If this world ever decides that they want to work together, there ain't nothing we can't do. We can.
You know, there's a thing about no matter how much good you want to do, that somebody somewhere is going to find out a way to use that to turn it bad. And capitalism, for somebody to hate capitalism or to cut down or despise capitalism, they're not using their head. Capitalism has a good side and it has a bad side. Good capitalism, true good capitalism. There is no way on this earth you can make $1 million legally, morally, without helping 10 people make 100,000. Well, and there's no way that they can make 100,000 unless each and every one of them helps 10 people each make $10,000. And there's no way those 10 people or 100 people, whatever Mount multiplies out to now, there's no way they're going to make 10,000 unless each and every one of them helps somebody else make 1,000.
Well,
that's true capitalism. That is true good capitalism. Bad capitalism, I don't even want to get into that.
In self-defense, a system called martial arts, it basically takes and you go up against some guy that is twice your size and stronger than you. You know your limitations. But now you also know that this man has strength. He has power. And you can use his strength and his power against him. You can,
yes.
You can use his strength to push your body away to safety. Right? And so the same thing would apply in all these systems out there, whether it be capitalism that you think you despise. You can use all the things, all their laws, all their rules, their system against them. Just like everything, you know, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. If you want to make money and you want to decide which direction that money goes into, that is using their strength against them. Their strength is that money. They need that money. That money just became yours because you're the one that decided to use it and guide it to where you want it to go, just like we're talking about guiding energy to where you want it to go. That's all we're doing is moving things around. They're moving money. They're getting you motivated to move materials to make things. And so who do you want to move it for? Do you want to move it for the man or do you want to move it for the people? That's your choice.
There you go.
So I think that right now we're standing at a crossroads. The next 20 years is going to be exciting. We have to decide as we the people of whether we want it to be heading the direction that we want to go or whether we want to allow somebody to choose which direction we go. It's as simple as that. At some point, technology in humanity is going to reach a singularity. And in the wrong hands, whether it be artificial intelligence or some crazy man at the helm, we got problems. Potential problems coming down the road. Having to do with mankind becoming so technologically advanced that we could either A, destroy ourselves, or B, we could literally bring about a heaven on earth. It's our choice. It always has been. Since day one, it always has been. But you could be lazy and let the corporations and the companies do it. Or you could actually get in there and do something. Make it better. I think Justin wants in. So, any more ideas that you can think about there, Remy?
I'm looking up the movie, The Matrix.
Yeah?
He's talking about artificial intelligence, and people don't really understand what artificial, what the bad side. I mean, there's the good side, and there's the bad side, everything.
Well, the system used the people for batteries in that one.
Right, exactly. And people don't understand what we're talking about. They need to watch that movie.
Yep.
Because artificial intelligence is like black and white. It's like up and down. You cannot have one without the other. So artificial intelligence has a super, super good side, but there's always that possibility of the bad side. And people that don't understand what artificial intelligence is, the bad side of it, then they need to watch the movie called Matrix. It's unbelievable. They actually use human beings as batteries. Machines can't run without energy. They use energy. And the human body is nothing but pure energy. Think about that a minute.
Yep. Well, see, that's the point. You want to be used as a battery in the future because your brain, you know, with all kinds of different technologies such as virtual reality, your brain would be perfectly content moving around and doing whatever you think is in the real world when all along you were plugged into a system that was draining your life force for
and
your power.
Virtual reality technology to make you think that you're actually alive.
Yeah.
And living and walking around, doing your job, going home to your wife and kids. I mean, you know, going out to watch your kids play baseball, hold them, take on time, you're in a capsule. Plugged in.
It sounds...
Creating energy for these machines.
Yeah.
Because machines are artificially intelligent, therefore they realize that war is non-productive.
Yeah.
That you were killing all these people. We're burning all this energy, fighting over what? Territory? Money? Religion? So the machines decide.
Well, it sounds maybe like science fiction, but in reality, it's becoming science fact.
Exactly.
So, anyway, I think what we're going to do is take a quick music break. Coffee and refresh and then come back and polish off the last 45 minutes of the Mad Science Show. How's that sound?
It sounds good to me because I need some coffee right now.
All right, everybody. Stay tuned. You're listening to Mad Science. We'll be back shortly. Peace and love.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission. To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life and new civilizations. To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Hey, Doc, this is it.
Never mind that.
Why, that's me! Look at me! I'm an old man!
Hey, I'm Dr. Emmett Brown. I'm standing here on the parking lot at...
Thank God I still got my hair!
October
26th. What on earth is this thing I'm wearing?
Wow, this is a radiation suit.
Radiation suit? Of course! Because of all the fallout from the atomic wars! This is truly amazing. A portable television studio. wonder your president has to be an actor. He's got to look good on television.
Whoa, this is it. This is the part coming up, Doc.
No. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
What did I just say?
Flux capacitor stores. This sucker's electrical. But I need a nuclear reaction to generate the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity.
1.21 gigawatts! 1.21 gigawatts! Great Scott! What the hell is a gigawatt?
How could I have been so careless? 1.21 gigawatts! Tom, how am I going to generate that kind of power? It can't be done, can it?
But all we need is a little plutonium.
Oh, I'm sure that in 1985, plutonium is available in every corner drugstore, but in 1955, it's a little hard to come by. Marty, I'm sorry, but I'm afraid you're stuck here.
Whoa, Doc, stuck here? I can't be stuck here. I got a wife in 1985. I got a girl.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's beautiful. She's crazy about me. Look at this. Look what you wrote here, Doc. I mean, that says it all. Doc, you're my only hope.
Marty, I'm sorry, but the only power source capable of generating 1.21 gigawatts of electricity is a bolt of lightning.
What did you say?
A bolt of lightning. Unfortunately, you never know when or where it's ever going to strike.
We do now.
This is it. This is the answer. It says here that a bolt of lightning is going to strike the clock tower precisely 10:04 p.m. next Saturday night. If we could somehow harness this lightning, channel it into the flux capacitor, it just might work. Next Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
name is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch it.
Yeah, that's right. Could you describe the ruckus, sir? Ah. Well, the ruckus is mad science, and we're back. You're listening to www.chazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. We've been joined by Justin. We got Thomas in here somewhere, and we still have Raymond. So, hi, everybody. How's it going?
Excellent.
Good. Cool. All right, so we posed a question, what is possible, at the beginning of the show, and we've been down the long list of all kinds of possibilities, all kinds of things that could be utilized, technology from prior to present to future, and all that kind of stuff. And so essentially, you know, we're standing at a crossroads right now trying to decide as we the people whether we want the power to be in the people's hand in the future or we want the power to be in the system that has been for, I don't know, how long has the system been around?
Most a long time.
Well, their track record kind of stinks as far as the way that the people were treated and stuff, but nonetheless, we got a choice. Where we want to take this thing, this ideas and stuff. Where we could take and basically utilize everything that has been put before us in the proper, efficient, perfect harmony with nature type manner and helping one another's out. Everybody should be able to live in comfort and everybody should be able to have access to clean water and fresh food and all that kind of stuff. And so I'm saying, what are we waiting for? That's it.
What are we waiting for? Lord.
What do you think, Justin? You just joined us. What are we waiting for?
Well, just like any heroin junkie, they don't realize it until they're on their deathbed.
Right.
Well, you know, it's like the frog thing. You know, people are in the pot right now boiling and they don't even realize they're boiling. Some of us are saying, hey, you know, it's getting a little warm in here.
They do realize they are.
Huh?
Right. A lot of people do realize that they're boiling, but they're content.
Right. There you go. Content. Classic.
Well, some of us ain't content, and we're saying, you know, it's getting a little hot in here. Why don't we all step outside? And there's people that like, no, it's warm in here. I'm staying in here. I ain't going outside. It's too harsh out there. All right, well, stay there and cook, fool. We got to get out here and get some work done. We'll see y'all when you get done with your bath, maybe.
You know, I've had two situations, my oldest son and my youngest son. When they were babies, just barely able to walk, my youngest son, we went on vacation for the week between Christmas and New Year's. And we went to this resort, and there was this big outdoor swimming pool, you know. And my youngest son, he wanted to go in the water. I said, well, help yourself. So he went in the swimming pool. And this kid's out there for like 30, 40 minutes, swimming around, having a ball. I mean, it's below 32 degrees.
Man.
And he's out there swimming and having fun. His mom and I realized we forgot something. We forgot to tell him it was cold.
Huh.
He didn't know it. He wasn't cold. He was having fun. He was swimming in the water. Duh. He didn't know any better.
Well, I tell you, I get cold easy. I wouldn't go out there and jump in the cold water.
If I bust up my foot in that sucker, I'd be shivering all over.
Huh. So, this stuff that we've been talking about today is just little, this doesn't even really scratch the surface of the capabilities of what we could actually accomplish. There's existing technology on the store shelves. I want to see the researchers that have done like the videos that were posted over there in the superchat.html. You know, the average, they call them backyard scientists or backyard inventors or whatever. There's all kinds of, you know, crazy terminology people like to label people who aren't like mainstream science or mainstream inventors and stuff like that. It's these average Joes out there. Those are the ones you need on your dream team. Those are the ones that are in your neighborhood already. Those are the ones who come up with creative ways to repair broken machinery and then turn around, somebody else will see that, think, well, that's a great idea. And then they will take that idea and run with it, patent the idea, make themselves a lot of money, and forget about that average Joe that showed them how to do it to begin with.
Right, right.
Yeah. You think YouTube doesn't have people that scan YouTube to look for people like you and I? Man,
you know, we talk about good or do capitalism, and what you're talking about is bad capitalism. It's when you take somebody else's idea and you do something and you make a lot of money with it, and then you don't give credit where credit is due. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Plagiarism.
Yeah, yeah. We're sitting here giving people ideas. Well, duh, we want something in return. We want you to do it. We want you to make money.
Yeah.
Like, you say, wow, this is a bad science show, and they said this, that, and other. That's where I got this idea. Man, you need to listen to the show. Maybe it'll give you an idea where you can make $1 billion.
Exactly.
Exactly.
So now you're getting it. I ain't looking for no money. I ain't looking for no fame and fortune. I'm just looking for you to take the ideas that you hear from any of us and run with them.
No, wait a minute. You can keep the money. I want the fame.
Huh. Well, yeah, if it brings more people here, that would be beneficial to us.
I'm a human being. Nobody gets out alive, okay? But I want to live forever. The only way I can do that, the only way, is if people, after I'm gone, remember me. Now, Hitler is remembered. Genghis Khan is remembered. I don't want to be remembered like that. Huh. I want to be remembered like... Somebody
who did something positive?
Yes. I want to be remembered hundreds of years after I'm gone as doing something good.
Well, folks, we have spent hours and hours and days and years researching and bringing information to the table for people to utilize. We've told you about all kinds of different devices out there, all kinds of different YouTubers, home scientists, and we brought new people to the table to share their ideas, and it's time that you get up and come to the table too. It's time that you share the ideas. If you're listening or watching, if you're listening to this show right now and you're out there on a social media network, how long does it take you to post a link to Shaziz Radio Super Chat and jump in there to say hi or something like that? Say, hey, you know, we heard you on there. We like your ideas and we're sharing them, that kind of stuff. See,
yeah.
We're not here trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to convince you of anything. We're just trying to get you to motivate yourself and to believing in yourself and to researching all kinds of stuff. Take that creativity, share it with you freely, and run with it. And if you bring more people to the table, then that's what the purpose of this whole deal is that we get people, the brilliant minds, to come into from all different directions to do exactly what it is that we've been doing. That's how you get network. That's how you get the thing accomplished. Ideas that you've learned out there on YouTube that you've implemented in your own life that have been beneficial, and then you share that information with somebody else and so on down the line. It's that whole pay it forward thing. It's the whole positive pebble in the pond. It's the sending the good ripples out, the good knowledge out to people in this world that's going to make the difference. It's the average Joe that actually gets things done. That's as simple as you can say it. Mad science isn't about fame and fortune. It's about knowledge and power, sending it out there to where the knowledge and power needs to be. There's some folks in this world that could use an electric fan to keep them cool. Or maybe even a shade tree. Or some evaporative cooling. Or some fresh water to drink instead of having to have their children drink out of mud holes. We can show them how to make fresh water.
You just mentioned in the same sentence, evaporative cooling and a shade tree.
Yeah.
I was, quite a few years back, I was in Mexico with my in-laws, and they live out in the desert. Well, the wind was blowing about 3, 4, 5 miles an hour. But there was a cinder block wall, and it was blocking the wind, from my mother-in-law and her girlfriends. They were sitting on a couple of park benches under some shade trees. And they all, every one of them had a rag and they were wiping sweat off their face and just sat down there talking and having a blast. And it dawned on me. So I walked over, picked up the garden hose, put it on spray, and sprayed the leaves in the trees, right? Now, all of a sudden, the trees, where I was putting the water, was above the height of the cinder block wall. So it was blowing through the trees, evaporating the water, cooling the air, and of course, like you said earlier in the show, hot air rises, cold air falls. So all this cold air started coming down on these women. So help me, she says, every one of them got up, went home, came back with a sweater.
Huh.
I'm serious.
I believe it.
You know, so evaporative cooling and shade trees, they work great if you put a little water on.
You'd be surprised what you can learn from nature. You could be surprised what you can learn from basic science. You know, Patty said in the TCT chat room, says, yes, exactly, innovation more often than not is the brainchild of ordinary individuals just asking the question, what if? That's it, what if, folks? What if we what if we decided to find out what is possible? What if we decided to take all the knowledge that we had as far as we could possibly go and then some? To boldly go where humanity has refused to go before. We got the technology. We got the capability. Now, it all depends on how we want to use it. You know, you could use something like fire, which is natural in nature. Fire is a normal occurrence. You got volcanoes and you got lightning strike, which basically nature's tree trimmer that burns off different pieces of property and basically opens it up for fresh seeds and stuff to come around. It rejuvenates. Fire rejuvenates. But you could also take that same fire and use it improperly and hurt people with it.
Right.
Or you could take that same fire and use it properly and cook somebody's food. Or make it warm so that they can not be cold in the wintertime.
Right.
We've learned enough about nature and how nature functions to literally get to the point where we're at right now. We're sitting here talking on a digital computer system that is sending our information out worldwide. You're able to hear this show because of somebody's brilliant idea in the past. Now we get to decide. You want the governments of the world in charge? Do you want the corporations of the world in charge? Or do you want to start building a system with your communities that's going to benefit your communities? And if you can do it in your community, and the community next door to you sees your accomplishments, and they see how you are taking care of one another, and you're actually having reserves that you send out to other communities, neighboring communities, to help their needy people, then they're going to adopt that situation. They're going to want to put that into their city. They're going to want to have something to what you got. They're going to want to do it themselves. In every single community, I've seen an abandoned house with a vacant lot. That could be a community garden for your people. And when people fall on hard times and they need some extra food, the people go down there, they harvest the food, they share the food, they take care of one another.
The three words can sum up what you just said. Lead by example.
Exactly.
Example.
I'm saying, look, the tiny house community, brilliant place to run some experiments. We could literally show people how to take their tiny house and make it so perfectly energy efficient that it barely uses any energy, but it does it in such an efficient manner that you remain warm when you want to be warm. You remain cool when you want to be cool. You have cold water to drink. You have warm water to take a bath with. You have a place to keep your food cool and stuff. All the technology is available.
Yep.
Every bit of it. Now let's take and help the tiny house community become so super efficient that people understand, hey, if I don't want to live in a mansion, I can live in a tiny house and I can live just as comfortable as the guy in the mansion. I can even make it look good while I'm at it.
Yep.
I'm not saying you have to live in a tiny house. You can live in a mansion. Whatever your heart desires, what you choose that you want to have your lifestyle, but just do it in the most efficient manner possible. If you're living in a huge mansion and you got tons of available empty space, utilize it for some positive purpose. You see what I mean? Wasted space, wasted energy, wasted everything. We waste so much as mankind. It's just ridiculousness. And if there's somebody in this world starving, and you just threw half of your meal into the garbage, come on, people. You know, they're always talking about working with nature. You only take from nature what you need. Nature, you see, it's a give and take relationship. We have a symbiotic relationship with nature. We breathe out plant food, and the plants give us fresh oxygen to breathe. We work in harmony with nature when we do this. When we take more than what nature has to offer, and we don't need it, I hope you understand what I'm trying to point out here. I'm not one of those so-called tree huggers, or, you know, I'm not concerned for the planet. The planet's going to do fine with or without us. I'm concerned for the future of humanity. If we work in perfect harmony with nature, humanity will thrive into the future. We'll all have exactly what we need. If we abuse nature, nature will dispose of us like nature disposes of everything else in this world that doesn't work. That's the way the system was designed. If you respect one another, and you respect nature, and you use all the science and technology that you've acquired the knowledge of throughout the history of your life and others, those before you, there ain't no reason why we couldn't build perfect communities. Starting at a ground level, you build a perfect community in your village. Then the big town next to you sees how well it works for you. They adopt that. And then it moves up from the little town to the city, to the state, to the country, to the nations of the world. If you practice what you preach in your own town, the people next to you will see by your actions your success, and that's where we can make this whole thing work. It's, you know, like I said on the Knights of the Round Table many times, this world didn't get in this mess overnight. And it's not going to be cleaned up overnight. But the first step forward is your step forward. For every journey, there's always got to be a first step. Your first step to help us out could literally be just sharing this information on your social media networks out there. Share these words with somebody. Tell them about something that benefited you personally. Like Raymond explained earlier, you know, I heard this idea on the Mad Science Show and I made $1 million. Tell somebody about it. Because if you send more people our way, we'll keep doing what it is that we do. We'll keep sharing these ideas. And these positive pebbles being thrown into the ponds all over the world will literally send the ripples out that will change this world. That's what I believe is possible. So when I ask the question at the beginning of this show, what is possible? I already had the answer in my heart. I already had the answer in my mind. Everything.
You know, if somebody took one of our ideas, expanded on it, and made $1 billion, and then in their advertising, hey, I made $1 billion because I took an idea from the Mad Science Show, I would be thrilled out of my mind.
I would too.
They don't give me a dime. I don't care.
But just by those words that they said, I listened to the Mad Science Show and I got an idea that made me rich. That sent more people over here to get more ideas so they can go out and get rich too.
I would have to go in my shop and get some duct tape to put on the back of my head because I'd be smiling so hard that I'd be afraid the top of my head would fall off. I would have a smile that was wrapped completely around my head. I mean, it would thrill me to death. You have no idea.
You know,
I don't want the money. I want to be Pasteur. I want to be whatever, Martin Luther King. I want to be remembered after I'm gone for good things.
Yeah, the governments of the world and the people of the world, they put a cry out for help, and we step forward. We're here to help. It's as simple as that. You said you needed clean, renewable, alternative energy. We've gave you so many countless ways of possibilities of things that if expanded on could literally build something like, you know, taking an old toy from back in the early 1900s called a putt-putter or a pop-pop boat and turning it into a solid-state boat motor that now you don't have no moving parts in this thing. There's nothing to break down, and those folks who are using leaky motors that leak oil and fuel into the waterways can now have a boat that won't break down on them, and they won't have to worry about trying to find parts to an outdated motor.
Right, because there are no moving parts.
Yeah. See, think about this for a second. You know, we know about thermodynamics. We know that, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction. If you heat air or water inside of a tube, it's going to do two things. One is going to produce pressure, and as that pressure is released out the other side, it's going to produce a vacuum on the other side, which now produces thrust that makes that boat move. That's how a boiler, little pop-pop boat works. It heats up water and uses heat to basically move the boat. And it makes a noise while it does it.
The pop engine was actually designed and built back in the 1880s. It was in the extremely early 1900s that the man redesigned it so that it would make the noise. So where it's now called a pop-pop boat.
Yep.
It doesn't have to make a noise.
Yeah, it can be perfectly silent. And the thing about it is, Using plumbing technology and air compressor technology, you can literally turn that doggone solid-state boat motor into the equivalence of a jet ski, because we know how to take pressure and raise that pressure up. If you force a lot of volume of heat into a large area, and then you start dropping it down to smaller pipes, it raises the pressure up of that deal. That energy wants to release itself. And use a nozzling technology like in a jet ski, you could literally steer this thing just like a regular jet ski or a boat.
Yep.
So the only moving parts are the hinges to the nozzles.
So you do it exactly like we're talking about.
Yep.
You take the energy and convert it to usable energy. You can actually steer it.
There you go, man. If there's a company out there that wants some help engineering that, I will give you that information for free. I'll tell you every thought I got. You just take your engineers and your CAD programs, you put it together. Go out there, patent it, make yourself money, take all the credit for it, and just move right along. And I'll sit there and I'll point it out to everybody else. Look what these guys did with that. All right?
Yes.
Now, won't you, somebody else, try it with this over here. All right? Because what they build, you'll be able to improve on.
Right. You know, the pop, pop, the guy that redesigned it so it made a noise, pop, 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 pop. Actually, he lessened its efficiency because he lost energy in making the noise, but in making the noise it attracted kids. So now all of a sudden they want this little pop pop boat engine.
Check this out,
it's advertising.
What if I said that with that pop pop design that could literally develop a solid state boat motor with no moving parts that would last forever, as long as you made it out of some decent material, stainless steel, so it doesn't rust or, you know, whatever, and you could use all different types of fuel sources on it. But what if I said that you could take that same exact design and utilize what's going on in that design to now make an air conditioner for your house?
Yep.
Because it does the same thing as HVAC, your air conditioning. Anytime you pressurize a gas, it heats up. Anytime you release that gas rapidly, it produces the total opposite effect, which is cooling.
Yep.
So what do you think, man?
You are absolutely 100% correct. Well, I mean, this is one of the best shows we've had so far.
Am I wrong in stating that steam is now a gas?
No, you're not. You're not wrong at all. I love this show, man.
Oh, man. I love the show, too. I just wish that more people would take these podcasts, chop them up, take whatever section that you want, run with it, put it somewhere, tell somebody about it, because we're not going to quit doing what we're doing. We're going to keep on doing this, but if you want to speed the process up and you want to help us out, we're not asking for financial donations. Your donation is posting links in the chat room. Your donation is posting links in your social media networks and telling people about what it is we're talking about. We're trying to bring all the pieces of the puzzle, all the brilliant minds into your community. We want these people to come into your community and troubleshoot all the problems that you have. You got a plumbing issue somewhere in your community. Your small town has a flooding issue. We got the answers. You yes. got the answers.
It's all there. It's again, I hate to do it because it's redundant as heck, but it's plug and play, folks. I mean, piezo crystals, filterial devices, photovoltaics. Whoa, photovoltaics? Why are we only using 10% of the light spectrum?
Yeah.
I mean, the duh, we've been using ultraviolet light, which you cannot see in fluorescent light bulbs.
They use them in your remote control, man.
They take ultraviolet light that you cannot see, they put it onto a fluorescent powder, which turns it into visible light using less electricity.
Your remote control to your TV, you don't see that beam going across there, but it does.
Really?
That beam is picked up by a diode that now turns it into a little bit of current that tells the circuitry to turn on and off, so you can turn your TV off while sitting on your couch.
Yep.
Doggone it, people! It's already ready for you! Dinner's ready. We're ringing the bell.
You simply take that fluorescent powder and mix it with clear crystal paint or coating and cover your solar panel, and you can actually make electricity at night, because at night you don't get near as much visible light as you do ultraviolet light.
Yep.
Think about that a minute. Now all of a sudden you're turning the ultraviolet light at night into visible light on your solar panel.
That's right. You take those hot summer nights and you turn that thermal electric into energy that is now pumped through those solar panels down into your charging systems.
Right. Put your filterials on the backside of your solar panel, put your heat sinks on it, seal it up, put your water in it to keep them cool. It cools them faster, so now all of a sudden you're making photovoltaic electricity, you're making peltarial heat electricity, and you're heating water, and you're taking that hot water and putting it into a Stirling engine, turning another turbine, making more electricity. I mean, come on, folks.
Look,
your solar panel is 35% efficient. Now all of a sudden you made the sucker 9% efficient.
We're, you know, there's people that believe that doomsday is right around the corner. We've been telling them forever and a day how to save the planet if they're worried about the planet. I mean, I don't think the planet's in danger, honestly, because science tells me it's not. But nonetheless, those that say that it is in danger, we're standing there handing them on a silver platter the solution to every problem out there. All you got to do is take those people that are in your network, in your neighborhood, and do the research, and you'll see everything we said is out there.
Yep, it's already there. It's already there.
Yep.
All you got to do is just put it together.
The war machine has some cool tools. Now we need the people machine to have even cooler tools. So, you know, if there is no need for oil, then there is no need for war.
You know, the thing is, what we're talking about on this show is a big jigsaw puzzle. The thing is, this jigsaw puzzle has a written code on the back of each piece to tell you exactly where to put it.
Yep.
I mean, how difficult would it be to put a puzzle together if each and every piece
had a number on it, and all you had to do was just put it together. Plug one in and play it.
Just think about a puzzle that walks together and puts itself together.
Right.
Well, look, folks, there's so many possibilities. There are plants out there that could replace crude oil. There are plants out there that could be used for clothing and all kinds of different materials. There is material after material after material. You're never going to run out of stuff to make stuff with. If you're not paying attention, and you haven't been paying attention in basic science, then you will not understand what we say when we say that energy is free. You won't understand what we say when we say that you are never, ever, ever going to see the end of the fossil fuel industry unless you choose to end the fossil fuel industry. Because this planet will never, ever, ever run out of oil. It's not possible. It's not even remotely possible because this is a carbon-based life form. This is a carbon-based world. There is heat and chemistry and things going on in nature all day long, every day, since the dawn of mankind, that have been doing the same thing over and over again, recycling every bit of material back into the system and regenerating more. So, stop pumping the oil. When the oil goes dry in the well, walk away from it, come back a year or two later, it's going to be full again. That's as simple as that. Raymond, you're from Texas, and I know you know that for a fact.
Oh, thank you.
There are oil wells out there that ran dry. They abandoned these wells, and then only to find out later that these doggone things filled themselves back up.
Yep. I have experienced that personally. Yes.
Well,
yes.
My point is this: nature has the world in charge. Nature's in charge. Now,
right.
If we want to decide to work in perfect harmony with nature, and we want to make the perfect self-sustained, like they keep claiming they want, the perfect alternative, clean, renewable energy sources, like they want, then it's time to listen to Raymond, it's time to listen to Thomas, and Justin, and myself, and everybody else out there who've been spouting this off forever and a day that energy is free. When you decide to tap into it, we'll show you how. We've done the research. And there's people out there who will show us how to do things because they've done researches and other things that we hadn't even noticed, because the buffet of information out here is so vast that we're only scratching the surface of the true potential of humanity when we decide to use our power.
That's the second time you said we're only scratching the surface. The thing is, it's a tiny little scratch.
Yeah!
It's a tiny little scratch, is it?
But just with the tiny scratch that we made, we got enough to solve every single problem on this planet. And
yes.
Then some.
You know, they've got a problem in Mississippi. In up and down the Mississippi River. It's a big problem, too. And it's called silver carp and flathead carp. Neither one is an actual carp. It's a fish. And they claim that it's destroying game fish. But it's down the bottom feeder. It's eating the food that bass and crappie and brim eat. And so, therefore, it's depleting the food supply. But these things grow at an unbelievable rate. I mean, in 1 year, it can go from an egg to a 5-pound fish.
Well, check this out. There's people in the world that are starving to death. Chip them to them.
I mean, there are people that are out there building aquaponics, which is where you combine raising fish to eat and taking the pee and poop of the fish, that water, and using it in the hydroponic type system and growing plants for vegetables and so forth. I mean, think about this a minute. I mean, a lot of people out there that are in a aquaponic are trying to use tilapia, which is a very fragile fish. If the water temperature goes up 5 degrees or down 5 degrees, you could lose a lot of fish. Silver carp and flathead carp can survive in water as high as 85 degrees. They can survive in water as low as 32 degrees. They're hardy, they grow faster, eat less, have a better meat to food consumption and production rate. I mean, they're unreal.
All right, so
I've never heard of that would be better in a hydroponic, I mean, an aquaponic situation than silver carp.
Yep.
And thing is, bass, brim, and crappie breed one time a year, and they lay several hundred eggs. A silver carp will breed 3 to 4 times a year, depending on the weather conditions, and lay 200 to 250,000 eggs. And those eggs can be consumed by a human being, or they can hatch out to make more fish. I mean, come on, man.
Yeah, there you go, man. Look, folks, we're down to the wire.
It's free.
We're down to the wire, but I want to say something to you, and I need you to take this to heart and think about this for a second. Nature wastes absolutely nothing.
Right.
Everything that is thrown out by man, nature reabsorbs. It doesn't matter whether it's in the massive landfill that stinks and drives you insane. It doesn't matter if it threw it on the side of the road. What it matters is we're polluting our own environment that we could live in perfect harmony with, but nonetheless, nature doesn't waste nothing. Everything you throw away, everything you stop using, nature reclaims. So nature has nature in control. Now, if you want to live in perfect harmony with nature, and if you want to live on a beautiful planet, and you want to ensure that nobody on this planet is starving to death, or doing without, or is homeless, then you do what nature does. You stop wasting. Nature doesn't waste. Only mankind wastes. We waste food that could go in somebody else's belly. We waste materials on construction sites that could go to build a homeless person a house. We waste materials in factories and all kinds of stuff. And everybody sits around who are concerned about the environment. All the environmentalists out there complaining about the situation at hand and about the dangers of the world. You need to come over and sit down and have a good talk with Shaziz and Raymond and Justin and Thomas and Patty and Stephen Gibbons. You need to have a talk with us, because once you get through listening to what we have to say, you'll understand. We can fix it all. Every last bit of it. You asked for solutions. We stepped forward. We handed you the solutions. So all we're asking of you isn't to throw money in our hat, not to throw no money in a donation box. What we're asking of you is to take a second or two of out of your time, throw a link to this podcast, which I'm going to name it what you saw in there, the question, what is possible? That's going to be the name of this podcast. And I'm going to ask you what is possible, but I want you to take a second of your time to post a link to the Super Chat .html at Shaziz Radio, or a link to the podcast, and let somebody out there who is a hardcore environmentalist, or who is concerned about nature, who is concerned about life in general, or wants to make this world a better place, let them hear the words that were said here today. Let them hear the invitation of the offer for them to come to the microphone and ask us the questions that they need. What can we do to fix this problem? If we don't have the answer, we'll find it. That's what we're here for. We will find it. There is somebody out there who has done the research in the question that you're asking, and we will find them. We will bring them to you, and they will help you resolve the issues in your community. That's how this works.
Yes.
So if you want to help out Shaziz Radio, if you want to save this planet, then you pass this message on. Because we're putting a call out for all the brilliant minds, all the backyard inventors, all the mad scientists, everybody with a good idea, and even those with a few bad ideas. Because we can help them too. See, by myself, I don't have all the answers. But with Raymond, I got more than I had. With Thomas, I got yet even more. With Justin and Patty and Steven and everybody who shows up in the chat room, with their brains combined to us, you would be surprised at what we can come up with.
Oh, Lord, yes. Oh, it blows my mind, with especially Thomas and Stephen Gibbons and Patty. I mean, they come up with some of the most fantastic ideas that I didn't even think of before.
That's right. You know, by ourselves, we're a Swiss watch, but together we make a Swiss watch look like a Tinker toy.
Yeah, You're talking Rolex.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That's what the brilliance is. The brilliance is it, your piece of the puzzle with our piece of the puzzle. When they all come together, we get the big picture. Folks, you've been listening to Mad Science. Thank you to everybody out there in the chat room, and thank you, Raymond and Thomas and Justin. Look, tonight's the round table. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be doing the same thing we're doing today, just on a little bit different scale, trying to resolve issues in the world. Even Mad Science is about resolving issues in the world, so choose whichever show is more comfortable for you. Share the podcast with somebody, and together we will make the world a better place. One positive pebble at a time. Peace and love, everybody. You've been listening to Mad Science at www.shazizradio.com. Join us on the Knights of the Round Table Sunday morning, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. Check out my YouTube channel, Shaziz Mad Science. Check out Raymond's YouTube channel.
Got one thing to say.
Yeah.
And you've said it three times on the show. I'm going to say it for the fourth time. If you think you can, or you think you cannot, you're right.
That's right. What is possible? Everything. Peace and love, everybody. Take care.
Crap.
Operator, give me the number for 911.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission:
to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Is going on in here? What was that ruckus?
What ruckus?
I was just in my office and I heard a ruckus.
Could you describe the ruckus, sir?
Watch your tongue, young man. Watch.